Now, Mrs. Andreasen, you were on the spacecraft. They had examined you. Do you have any physical scars or any evidence that you were examined?
Well, I went for x-rays of my head and everything, and right. There were no breaks in the bone. However, the doctor said something as far as finding out about anything in the membrane, any scar or anything like that. I would have to go through a different type of x-ray, and the radiation level was quite high, and he didn't feel as if I should do that because unless I had a tumor or something like that. You know?
All right. Okay, I want to get back to your story now. They examined you. Obviously, you were in some pain, or at least you were starting to show signs of fear then. What did they do after they had examined you?
Well, after they had examined me, they took me back to the cubicle where they told me to change into my regular clothes, and from there I was escorted into this room that appeared like a Quonset hut-type room, half cylindrical. And within it were eight glass-like chairs, and they sat me down in the one of the chairs to the right, and this hood, glass-like hood, came down, and I could hear it click around me, and then I felt very cold, as if I was freezing, and it seemed as if I was there for a very long time. And from there, I was taken and put into another chair to the left, and again, this glass-like hood came down and sealed around me, and I could hear the snap, and they also put some tubes in my nose, and I could hear it, as they put them into the glass, I could hear it seal-like, and also a tube for my mouth, and they told me to keep my eyes closed, and they gave me this reddish color liquid to take, and it tasted very sweet, and I felt very relaxed from it. And meanwhile, this gray liquid fell down, you know, was falling on my head, and it was filling up in the bottom of the chair, and when it was filled, it vibrated like a whirlpool around about me, and from there, they drained that out, took the breathing tubes out, and set me on this track where one being was in front of me and one being was in back of me. And at this point, they had their different uniform. It was a sort of a shiny aluminum-type uniform. And they put two black hoods on their heads. And we went out of this room into a very dark black tunnel. It seemed as if it was chipped out of stone. And there were other entrances. I could tell because their uniform sent off like a bright light, and I could see like darker holes off to the sides. And
did you start thinking that maybe these weren't angels after all at this point?
I didn't know what it was. I really didn't
but
know.
But the term alien still didn't cross your mind.
I wasn't, yeah. You know.
You weren't in that frame of mind, obviously.
No, I wasn't aware of UFOs, you know.
Okay.
So anyway, I was taken through this tunnel, and we were coming up to a mirror, and I thought we were going to crash right through the mirror, and instead we passed just like we passed through the wood in my home, and we came into this red atmosphere, and in this red atmosphere there was no vegetation. There were just large buildings with square windows, and there were these strange creature-like beings having like two stalks for a head with very large eyes on the end of them. And they were crawling all over the walls and in and out of the windows and all over the place. And as I said, the two beings had hoods, these black hoods on, and evidently they thought that my head felt very heavy. Evidently they thought my black hair was covering enough for me that I, you know.
Didn't need anything else.
We passed through this area into a green atmosphere, and it was beautiful. It was just fantastically beautiful. There were things there I can't even describe today. They, you know, nothing that I could relate to in this in planet Earth. And so I saw different things there, a domed city.
Was this this was obviously their planet then?
No, this was not their planet. They told me that this was the high place. The highest place.
All right.
They had told me their planet, the name of their planet, but I couldn't pronounce it. There was too many consonants in it. I've tried.
Did they say it was in this galaxy or in another? Or
they gave some writings, but I'm not really aware of what they are. I just passed them on into the investigators. And in this high place, this green atmosphere was just beautiful. And I came up to some crystals that were just hanging in midair, and I did become fearful. I wanted to go back at that point because it was awesome, and they just wouldn't go along with my request, and we kept on going until we came to this area where this large bird stood, and the beings just got off the track, and I was left there alone where this huge bird was, and it was alive, and there was light in back of it just radiating, kept on radiating, and I kept getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and these sparks of gold were flying around in front of me, and I felt like I was being consumed by fire. And at that point, I must have passed out or something, because the next time I looked, the bird was gone, and there was a pile of ashes there. And out of these pile of ashes, a large gray worm appeared. And then from the side, a voice spoke to me, a very loud voice, and called my name twice and said, "You have seen and you have heard. Do you understand?" And I said, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't even know why I was there." And then the voice talked with me and reassured me that everything was all right, that some of the pain that I experienced was because of my fear. And I just felt better. I felt elated, and joy filled me. I felt very happy at that particular point. And then the voice told me I would have to return, and I was taken back by the being.
To Earth?
Yes.
I believe they also gave you a book.
Yes.
Is that true?
There was an exchange of the Bible, and they passed me a blue book, which they said I could have for 10 days and to look within it and grasp as much as I could possibly grasp, and I was not to show it to anyone. However, I did show my daughter, Becky, mm-hmm. which I shouldn't have, and when she put her hand on it, her hand sort of glowed, and after 9 or 10 days, the book was gone.
Gone, disappeared,
yeah.
Just into thin air. Mr. Fowler, have you heard any stories similar to this one?
Everything that Betty has said has a similar parallel to other cases, except the anomaly, I guess would call it, of the bird experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what to make about the bird experience. The only thing that relates internally with a bird is that these aliens had a similar bird insignia or symbol on their shoulders,
uniforms.
You know. And whether this was an induced hallucination, an object lesson that was set up, I really don't know. You almost could draw an analogy to a South Sea Islander, for example, mm-hmm. who drifted out to sea and was out to sea for many, many days in his canoe, and he sees this huge aircraft carrier coming,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and they send a small boat, they pick him up, they bring him back, they give him a physical examination, they put him in the hospital, and then when he's resuscitated, they bring him to the day room, and he sees movies, he sees
yeah.
TV, all these modern inventions. And then they take a helicopter, they bring him back, they dump him on the beach. And he goes back and tries to relate this whole thing in terms of his own religion, his philosophy, within the limited,
yeah.
You know, people would think he was probably
right,
crazy.
About the book, how much do you remember? They asked you to grasp what you could. What was in it that you remember?
Well, the first three pages were very bright light. There were approximately 40 pages. It was very thin paper. The writings on it, there were symbols, there were numbers, there were strange writing, there were pictures of the workings of the craft. There were just so many different things, and they've come forth, and I just handed them to the investigators for them. I don't know what they are.
In other words, you handed the notes that you took on it, or?
The different things that have been revealed to me.
Yeah.
I've just passed the writings and things over to the investigators. Also, my daughter Becky is able to write the same strange writing that was in the book, and at a few occasions I have been able to, too. And it is not like automatic writing where something takes hold of her hand. She's just able to sit down and she writes them. She has page after page of this particular stuff.
It's incredible. Unfortunately, we are about out of time. We are out of time, but I must ask you, if they were to come back, would you go with them?
If they wouldn't put me through the physical examination, probably yes, but other than that, no.
Needless to say, this is an absolutely incredible story. Whether or not you believe in UFOs and close encounters of the third kind, I think you will agree, ladies and gentlemen, that this is an absolutely incredible revelation. Again, it is in a book called The Andreasen Affair. It is the documented investigation of a woman's abduction aboard a UFO. Our guests on K-Earth and Transition have been Betty Andreasen and UFO investigator Ray Fowler. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having us.